really like songs like that. Simple, but profound. And they are indeed. All right. Well, I got started last week. I didn't make much progress. Talking about the man of praise, and I'm looking at Psalm 145. I'd like you to turn there with me, please. And please understand, when I use the term the man of praise, it's gender inclusive, but I'm talking about just two genders, male and female, okay? You can laugh if you'd like. Let's stand together for the reading of the psalm. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the mighty might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We mentioned last week, just by way of introduction, that these are the Psalms of David. I think over 70 Psalms, I can't remember the exact number, but maybe 78 Psalms were attributed to David. I got it right. Just saw my note here. 78 Psalms attributed to David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And he was truly a man of praise. I'm so thankful we have the Psalms. It's my go-to book in times of difficulty. I run to the Psalms. You can always find somebody in the Psalms that can tell you, basically say, where you are, I have been. And you see how God brought them out. It's just basically testimonies set to song, which really is most songs are that. Testimonies set to music. But there's a lot of things that's said in this psalm about praise. And praise is not just a simple thing. It's not just a simple way of thinking about God. It really, we need to have some understanding of who God is to really praise him adequately. I'm always praying and say, God, give me the language that I need. I'm thankful for tongues because sometimes I just don't have the language. And so I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit can give me at times in my private devotions, gives me the ability to just pray in the Spirit. And when I pray in the Spirit, I know a lot of times in my mind I can just in broad ways think of the glories of God. It's a beautiful thing to transcend language. But I do pray for better ways to express my adoration and my praise to God. Let me say this. The better informed you are of God's word, the greater a person of praise you're going to be, because you're going to know who God is. And his identity is very important. People have different ideas about God, and a lot of them are not true. They're not biblical. There's a lot of people in churches today. They're praising someone who's not the God of this book. They call him God. They may call him Jesus. But it's not the Jesus revealed in this book. So it's important to know who he is. Now, last week we began by talking about the man of praise, the woman of praise, recognizes God's place. And this is very important. And I won't try to relitigate all of that, but just simply say that modern life, modern theology, if you want to call it that, if you can even call it theology, has turned this on its head. And we've taken the Creator and put him at our feet. And we put ourselves on the throne. And what needs to happen is we need to recognize he's the high one. And we're at his feet. And if we get that straightened out, a lot of things start working out better for us in every way if we understand that we are his creation and we are to live to praise him. So the first thing that David does here in this psalm, he recognizes God's place. He says, I will extol thee. I will lift you up. I will make sure you're in the right place in my life. The second thing, so I can move on through the sermon today, not get stuck again. He realizes God's purpose. A little bit of a different twist here. We need to understand what our purpose in life is. You know, one of the great philosophical questions that's asked is, why am I here? Don't you think it'd be nice if we could kind of figure that out at some point before we die? Why do I exist? Why am I in this world? I want you to notice David's ambition. He says, every day, in verse 2, every day will I bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That was his purpose. Not to make $1 million before he's 30 years old. Not to make sure he's so financially secure that nothing could ever shake that security. Nothing like that. His purpose, the first thing, the most important purpose of his life and the most important thing in his life was to bring praise and honor to the Lord. He wanted people to see clearly the Lord. In his praise, in his life, he wanted to not in any way bring dishonor to him. And this is what it means to bring glory to God. And it's the purpose of all of creation. I want to give you a verse, and I want you to remember this one. Write it down. Mark it in your Bible if you mark your Bible. If not, just write it down on a separate sheet of paper. But Revelation 4, chapter 4, and verse 11. Now you need to really remember this verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, now listen, and for thy pleasure. Didn't say for your pleasure. Didn't say for my pleasure. For thy pleasure they are and were created. And you need to hold on to that verse, because this world will deceive you into thinking it's all about you. And listen, wasn't that the first temptation, really? I mean, you think about it, God said, you can have all the trees of this garden, you can have the fruit of them. But there's one tree in the midst of the garden, you're not supposed to touch it. or you're not supposed to eat of the fruit of it, excuse me, lest you die. And when the devil comes, what's he attacking? He's saying God is trying to keep something good from you. God's not out for your good. And there was the first sin. And folks, there's a lot of people that have that mindset today. They live like that. And it's not a good way to live, is it? David demonstrates just how fanatical he is about this life purpose. Look in verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And let me read it to you this way, because I want you to understand what it means greatly. Great is the Lord, and that word greatly means vehemently, expressed or showing conviction or intense feeling. There needs to be an intensity in this, a zeal. I appreciate Johnny Mac coming and laying it to us. We need it. I need it. And Johnny, you keep it up. I like it. I really do. It's always in order to admonish God's people to praise his name. We don't praise him enough. David was, you know, he was really into that. You remember how he acted when they brought the Ark of the Covenant? And it was outside Jerusalem. And David was really intent on bringing the ark into what was called the city of David, Zion, which was a small, basically a fortress hill at one point. It was not that big at that time. But he was determined to bring what represented God's presence into the center of the city. He didn't get it right the first time, but when he finally did, he comes in, offering sacrifice and praising God. How? Well, he's whirling around, dancing, you know, and just praising God. And everybody didn't like it, but he didn't care anyway, because he loved the Lord more than he loved anybody else. He loved the Lord more than he loved his wife. He loved the Lord more than he loved his children. Put him first. We need to get some of those things down in our minds. Who's number one? I thought of a little analogy just for my own mind. Sometimes in my devotions, God gives me little pictures that help me. A lot of times I'll set up seats, you know, just not that I'm trying to I'm not trying to visualize God so much in a space, because I know he's bigger than that and the Holy Spirit's bigger than that, but sometimes it helps me to get away from the desk, get away from everything, all the distractions that can come to my mind, and just get in front of my desk and put one chair and me sit in a chair and put the Word of God in the other chair and just seek God. And I think sometimes it helps me to think, whose chair are you in? Am I letting God stay in his chair, or am I getting in his chair? You see what I'm saying? And that helps me sometimes, because I don't want to be in his chair. I don't want to be telling God how he ought to be running his universe. I want him to be in charge. I want him commanding my life, not me commanding him. I want to submit to his rule and find joy in doing so. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? But how we forget it. We've got a world that's just geared. Listen, Satan's got this United States of America so organized that he's really defeating much of the church, much of what's called the church, because we're just as worldly as the world. And we're letting everything take the place of God. We've got to be stimulated 24 hours, you know, and I say 24 hours a day, almost that way. All of our waking moments, we have to have a worldly stimulation. We've got to see what Kelly is saying today. or what's Dr. Phil got on his mind, or who's going to win the showcase showdown. Y'all getting quiet. Or who's going to win the tournament? We could go on and on, couldn't we? But what happens, we end up saying, God, I'll get to you later. I know I need to spend some time with you. I'll do it after I get through with this. And that's the tendency. But David's shown us that we need to make this our top priority. Our top priority. The third thing, he rehearses God's praise. He rehearses it. Now, verse 5 doesn't sound quite like it's speaking about that, rehearsing. But I want you to look at it, and I want to try to help you with one of the words. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Now, the Hebrew word there for speak in this instance, the Hebrew word for speak means to ponder, means to meditate. You know what it means to meditate, don't you? You know what a cow does, don't you? What does it do? You'll see it chewing after it's all, you bring it to the barn, it's still chewing. I don't want to get into the specifics of the whole deal. Don't want to make you sick. But let me just put it this way. It enjoys its lunch in the afternoon. Not only at noontime, but later. It brings it back and chews it again. And that's the idea is this. We need to have God on our mind. You say, I need to serve the Lord. I need to walk for Jesus. You're not going to walk for him, and you're not going to walk with him unless you think about him. And so you and I have to learn how to meditate on God, put his word in our minds. And listen, don't just read the Bible. And say, I want to get my 3 chapters in. I'm reading through, and that's good. Read through scripture. But sometimes you just need to take a verse and say, God, oh, God, massage this truth into my life. Oh, God, help me to think about it until I fully gain the full measure of what you're trying to say. So we need that. Jesus said this, and I'm telling you something. If you'll meditate on God, you will speak of him. You can't help. One thing leads to the other. If God's on your mind, you will speak of him. You can't help it. Let me give you a scripture here. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. That is Luke. Write it down or do something. Remember it. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. As old, I think it was Gypsy Smith says, what's down in the well is going to come up in the bucket. And whatever's in your mind, your heart, is going to be what you talk about. Just can't help it. If you had some really excellent ribs last night at a restaurant, you know what you're liable, if it's still on your mind the next day, you're going to be saying, man, I had some of the best ribs last night I ever had in my life. Now, where'd you get them? You go down this road and you go out in the country and I'll give you, let me write the direction. I want to tell you exactly where to get the ribs. We give the specific directions. We make sure they know how to get there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do the same thing about Jesus? say, Jesus is so good. I'm so excited about what Jesus is and what he does for my life. I can't hardly contain myself, and what he's done for me, he can do for you. And I want to tell you how to get there. You know, if y'all would shout a little bit, I'd get done quicker. At the Florida Bible Institute, where Billy Graham attended after going to Bob Jones University for a time, he left and went to Florida Bible Institute. He would paddle out to a small island in the Hillsborough River to practice his sermons and preach to the alligators and the birds, like St. Francis of Florida. If the animals wouldn't stop to listen, he'd preach to a captive audience of cypress tree stumps. But now look what Billy Graham did. Look at the reach of his men. He got it down in his heart. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, he got it in his heart, and he said, I've got to go tell somebody, and it don't look like anybody's going to listen to me but the birds and the fish and the stumps. But if you got enough excitement in your heart, you're willing to go preach to some stumps, God's going to give you an audience to preach to. Amen. Fourthly, the man of praise reveals God's properties. As I mentioned earlier, there's some things about God we ought to know. You ought to know who God is. If a police officer were to come and you were to have witnessed, say, a crime, it's probably a poor analogy. It's not in my notes, which is always dangerous. But if you were to say, well, you know, what did the person look like? Well, you'd give them the very best description you could give, and the better description you could give, they're better able to identify who that individual might be. But there's a lot of people who do not understand who God is. They're easily deceived. And so we need to know, how do you know who God is? There's a lot you can know by just looking out. The marvelous marvels of creation. If you just take enough time to look up, look around, and say you're a great God, you're a mighty God. But to really know who God is, you have to look at the Bible. You have to look at Jesus. And here's what David said. He said, the Lord is gracious. Okay? The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is slow to anger. Somebody say, thank God. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee. You see, he had some specificity. He was able to say, this is what God is like. God has revealed himself. I'm so grateful that he has. And he revealed himself most of all when he sent his son Jesus. So we need to study the life of Christ, because when we see Jesus, he was the image of the invisible God. And so when you see Jesus, you see what the Father's like. We need to know him. He said, they shall abundantly utter, gush forth the memory of thy great goodness. I just want to gush forth his praises. I'm tired of worrying about the skeptic and the culture. Sometimes I know I'm studying a lot of that, right? Thank God I'm about done. And there's going to be a shout of hallelujah coming forth from off of old Salisbury Road over there like you've never heard. Just get ready. Don't worry. It'll be me about May 8th. And I get my last assignment in. Woo, there's going to be some praising going on. But I'm having to learn how to deal with the skeptic and the culture and all this stuff. Boy, it's oppressive. And sometimes I just long just to praise him. Just to say, listen, I don't know if you agree with me. I don't know what kind of intellectual problems you might have, but mine are solved all in all. I've got enough that I'm satisfied. Hallelujah, I love him with all of my heart. You know, one of Satan's biggest ploys is to say to those who have sinned, there's no use you coming to God. I think it happens practically every time we come together. Somebody somewhere say, no use me going. I'm too bad. I've failed too many times. I've tried and fallen too many times. I can't seem to get it right. I just give up. I hope somehow it'll all work out in the end, but my goodness, I am one more failure. How can God love me? What does it say about him? He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. You ever think about the story of the prodigal son? Do you ever meditate on that one? Think about the mercy of God. Jesus presented that. We know the story, don't we? And you think, oh no, Pastor Wolf's going to talk about the prodigal again. No. I'm going to talk about the elder brother. I want to talk about God's love for that sulking brother out there who's upset because that no good son that had been in the far country spent all of his inheritance. The father was giving him a big party. And you say, all I can see is just a sulking. And he was. He was just out there pouting. But I think it's interesting that the father went out to him. We talk about his love for the prodigal son, but what about his love for that elder brother? He could have just said, you know, I'm not going to go out there to him. Let him get his mind. He went out there and entreated him and talked to him and said, shouldn't we have done this? You see, there's mercy there, even for that sulking elder brother, even for that Pharisee there. There was mercy for him. God was pleading with this guy who didn't deserve anything. Our God's a good God. He's worthy of praise. He's shown us mercy like we can't even imagine. It's going to take heaven to reveal how good he has been to us. Woo! I'll holler. Think about Jonah. I'll tell you something. I'd have been done with Jonah pretty quick. I want you to go over and preach to the Ninevites. Almighty God. Thus saith the Lord. And he knows his God. Won't you to go over and preach to them? I'm not going. Woo. Gets on a boat and goes the opposite direction. Now I'm done right there. I want everybody to say, I'm glad Pastor Wolf's not God. Yeah, right, because I'm done with him. I'm going to torch him right then. If I'm God, but I'm not, thank God. Well, God had to send a storm, send a fish, make the fish get sick, spit him out. He went on and did reluctantly, went over and preached. After they repented, he got to sulking. God kept dealing with him and dealing with him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a merciful God? Folks, we all ought to be happy about that. And if you know about him, if you've read about him, if you'll read the Word of God, you'll know who he is. And if you know who he is, you'll praise him more. Man, I've got a ways to go. But I could make it a three-parter, couldn't I? Francis Raleigh says it best, and listen to this. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Sing it with me. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to just press a little bit here. He respects God's preeminence. Look at verses 10 through 13. We'll kind of try to hit these quickly. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange... Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place. But that's still good. It was good what I was reading. Verse 10 through 13. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glorious majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The man of praise is one who fears the Lord. He has considered his call and responded. He wants to be all that God wants him to be. Notice in verse 10, the word saints. It says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Saints means kind. Now, I don't mean kind in the sense of kindness. I mean kind in the sense of like. It means that we're like God, godly. And folks, we need to understand that. Did you know the Bible calls us, be ye holy, for I'm holy? Now, we better be concerned about that, and we need to direct our minds and our attention to that. We need to respect God's preeminence. We are to live for his kingdom. Would you say with me out loud, Jesus is Lord? Jesus is Lord. Now, let's say it this way. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. If you don't understand what Lord means, maybe you'll understand what King means, but that means he is in charge. You're not in a democracy. You don't have a vote. We serve at his pleasure. Hallelujah. And that's okay with me. We are to be his ambassadors. We are to walk as his children. You know, some of the early European conversions to Christianity from barbarism, they'd go in and they'd win the king. Now, this is how Europe got saved. They'd win the king. And when the king of these Germanic tribes or wherever it was, when they got saved, all the people would get saved or they'd come to Christ. If the king was willing to serve Christ, the subjects were willing to serve Christ. In other words, our king, we're going to do what our king does. And that's how a lot of that happened. And so they came to Jesus as well. And that's how we need to look at our king, the Lord Jesus. We need to reflect his glory. We would need to reflect or seek to reflect what he feels to be valuable. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And the time to be kingdom children is now. Not wait until we get to heaven or the millennial reign. We need to do it now. We need to come and say, you are king, you are Lord. You are Lord. I'm not Lord, you're Lord. All right. Now are we the sons of God. Kingdom's now for us, but we're to look for the kingdom's coming. The full manifestation of it, it's going to be great. Get ready. It's a forever world. You know, sometimes we talk about heaven like it's a fairy tale. But Raymond Pritchard's with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's with Jesus. He's with Gene. And the kingdom's coming. Jesus is coming back. Man of praise receives God's provision. Are you receiving from the Lord? Verses 14 through 17 says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. What does God do? He upholds those who fall. He raises up those who are bowed down. He giveth meat in due season. He opens wide his hand. He satisfies. That means God Almighty is involved. God's here. I'm going to just get down here so I'll quit, get out of that outline so y'all feel better. Listen, God is here and he cares about you. He's a personal God. Johnny, Mac, God created you as a unique individual and me as well. And he knows me. He knows my vulnerabilities. He knows my struggle. He knows where I am. He knows the circumstances of my life. And I'm here to tell you that God Almighty is involved. And when we come to the altar, he is big enough to meet my need and your need and everybody's need. And we need to praise him for that. We need to have the attitude, I'm going to praise him forever and ever and every day and every day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, stand with me, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy sins, healeth all thy diseases. How many have received a touch from the Lord? How many remember the day when God washed away your sins? The day when you became a child of God? The day when you went from darkness to light? Amen. The day you went from selfishness to love. The day you went from serving yourself to serving the Lord. You remember that God did that. God saved you. And he's able to help us today. I don't know about you. I want to be a man of praise. I've heard people talk about epiphanies. I think I'm done with them now. You know, when I came here, I was 45 years of age. I'm 65 now and a half. I'm really keeping time now. And Medicare so far is great. It's really good. And I came here, I was 45 years of age. And it just kind of hit me one day over in the parsonage. You know, if you live as long as you've already lived, you'll be 90. I hadn't thought about that much before. I just kind of, you know, moving along and going through life and and then all of a sudden it hits you. I've had little epiphanies here and there, little wake-up calls. That's kind of not happening much anymore. I know what the deal is. I know what's going on. But I'll tell you this. I want to be a man of praise every day of my life. For the rest of my life, I want to praise him. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes, I want to praise the Lord. I want to stand for him. I want to shine for Jesus. Amen. Good times, bad times, in poverty and wealth, regardless of what it is, I want to praise the name of my Jesus. I want to be committed to be a man of praise. How about it? You want to join me with that? You want to be a man or woman of praise? Let's just lift our hands to heaven right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, don't let me put any conditions on you. Don't let me say to you, God, if you do this, I will. If you change this, I will. Oh, God, may we say regardless of whether the crops come to fruition, whether there's any fruit in the field, regardless of what's happening, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for Jesus because I know that everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard when we're making that commitment. Sometimes great trials come. But, oh God, in those hours, Even when we have questions, you come in the middle of the night. Oh God, you come, and somehow by the Holy Ghost, you see that lowly one laying there on their knees, maybe collapsed with their face on the carpet. And Lord God, you lift us up and you pick us up and you give us some truth or something to hold on to. And Lord God, we come out with victory. Praise the Lord, because you're committed to our success, thank God. And we're going to praise you for that. Hallelujah. Your love is amazing. Hallelujah. Your grace is amazing. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him together. Let's praise Him together. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Ghost is in this place. I believe He's undergirding right now each person here. He knows your particular battle and your struggle. And He's lifting you right now. Hallelujah, by the grace of God. You're going to go out of here lighter than when you came in. You're going to go out of here stronger than when you came in. Hallelujah. Not because of the pastor, not because of the preacher, not because of the choir, not because of anything else, but the praise, the mighty God. Hallelujah. We praise Him. He's the reason of it all. Hallelujah. And we give Him glory and we give Him praise. Amen. Can we just give Him a great big applause this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I believe the Lord receives that. Amen. I think this is a good atmosphere. I don't want you to forget this. I don't want us to go out here and listen, the world can kill in an afternoon what we've got here right now. You just go back and plunge right back into the world and we'll lose everything we got here today. Somebody say amen on that. Even though it might get me going again, say amen. No, I'm not. Listen, you go out of here with praise on your lips and determined to live a life of praise until God Almighty calls your name and calls you home. You say, I'm going to praise Him with God give me strength. I'm going to praise Him with my last voice, just like John Wesley said when he was a dying. He said, the best of all, God is with us. I want to die like that. Glory to God. You're dismissed. Thank you. If you can.